you know, surfing, the beach life, the surfer girls, California girls, the cars.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we celebrate the start of summer with a salute to the Beach Boys. If Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer, the unofficial soundtrack of summer is the Beach Boys. And starting this weekend, the family band from Hawthorne, California, is being featured in a new documentary on Disney+.
There's definitely been ups and downs. We've probably been counted out half a dozen times.
We used to sing three-part harmony in the backseat of the car, and that's the birth of the brothers singing together.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah,
three
get
brothers, around. Brian, Dennis, and Carl, a cousin, Mike Love, and our good friend, El Jardine. That's family to me.
We've known each other for a really long time, and there really is a great deal of fellowship in the group, and we've been through an awful lot.
The Beach Boys will focus on the group's ascent to music stardom and the rivalries and tragedies that have long undercut its sunny sound, plus its lasting influence on pop music more than six decades since the band's beginnings. Over the years, we've interviewed a number of band members for insight on timeless hits and the personalities behind them. Let's start with the band's creative and troubled genius, Brian Wilson, who formed the group with his late brothers Carl and Dennis. As portrayed in the 2014 biopic Love and Mercy, Wilson is celebrated for his unusual songcraft and remembered for his long and public battles with mental illness. In February, after years of touring, Wilson's family announced that he's suffering from dementia. In 2013, Wilson spoke with WAMC from the recording studio, during a tour when he was performing with fellow founding members David Marks and Al Jardine. It was part of a late career resurgence after a long period of inactivity.
Well, it's great. It reminds me of the Beach Boys, you know. But, you know, they collaborate with them. They're very good, great musicians, and they're great singers, too. Especially Al Jardine, he's a great singer. It's a very big kick for me. It's a very happy experience.
Wilson had decided to leave the road in the frenetic early days of the group, uncomfortable flying and more interested in working in the studio than performing live. In 2017, Wilson told us he had come around on touring.
Yeah, it's a little easier now. We don't travel quite as quickly.
Where did your long hair go? Where is the girl I used to know?
In the last decade, Wilson performed extensively behind the classic album Pet Sounds, released in 1966 and considered the group's greatest artistic achievement. In 2016, Jardine spoke with WAMC ahead of a performance for its 50th anniversary at Tanglewood. Jardine went to high school with Brian Wilson.
Well, I enjoy doing it more now on stage than I do looking back on it. Looking back on it was really hard. I mean, it's hard to do, you know. It was a very difficult, time-consuming, and it was record-breaking for us. And when I say us, I mean the Beach Boys. And the label just didn't know what to do with it and let it die off the charts. So to get it this many years later is kind of remarkable. And the younger fans seem to know all the words to the songs. It's almost like having a hit record again.
Completing the Beach Boys family connection is Wilson's cousin Mike Love, the lead vocalist on many of the band's biggest hits. Although he has reunited with the full group for its 50th anniversary album and tour, and a Grammy celebration this year, Love's complicated Beach Boys legacy includes lawsuits over songwriting credits and relentless touring under the band name, but minus most of its founders, plus his conservative politics. Love has defended his role as keeping the band's flame alive, especially during long stretches when Wilson was unable to participate. Love spoke with WAMC in 2014 about the group's early days.
Well, the thing that distinguishes the Beach Boys from so many other groups are the harmonies and the complexity of the harmonies or the sophistication of the harmonies. And the blend was very important to us as well. And the sensitivity towards blend really came from the Everly Brothers. They had a beautiful blend. It was just two-part harmony. And we're known for more four-part. And we, in terms of the complexity and the four-part harmony, we mainly got that from the Four Freshmen, which is a group that was very prominent in musical circles, anyway, in the 50s and 60s. And they still, that group still exists today, not necessarily with the original members, but they have a fantastic, they're very artistic, and they called that style of singing modern harmony. Not so sure what you'd call it these days, but it was very, very sophisticated, very close four-part harmony, and in a sense, kind of like jazz influence. So we had that additional influence to the doo-wop that we all were fond of back in the 50s and 60s when we were first starting out and first starting to sing together. So we had a combination of the rock and roll of Chuck Berry and the Everly Brothers, and then the doo-wop groups, and then the Four Freshmen. So you kind of combine all those influences together, and the way that we sound and the subject matter that we chose to sing about, that became the sound of the Beach Boys and the style of the Beach Boys. So it was just a blend of all these influences.
She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up. Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
3 years later, Love returned, not long after releasing his memoir.
There was no precedent for the kind of thing that we did, because there were the early rock and rollers like Elvis Presley, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and the Everly Brothers and like that, and Chuck Berry, of course, but there wasn't any groups like we'd like to be like them. The groups that were before us were kind of like, you know, there were big bands, there were people like Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett and stuff who were very popular at the time, but there wasn't like a real, I think we were kind of like the first boy band, but not in the sense of the fabrication of some of the boy bands that have been known for many years now, but we're a group of guys who wrote their own music, sang their own music, and performed their own music, and produced their own music. So it was kind of a new way of a new sort of a formula, which was the Beatles came along shortly after us, and then the Rolling Stones, and so many other groups to follow. But we were at the advent of rock music becoming a really big business, you know. So, but we never foretold being, you know, doing what we do as the Beach Boys for over 50 years. Now that was just, it was just that we knew we liked to sing. And we loved getting together to harmonize. And then we chose the subject matter that was special to Southern California. Our, you know, surfing, the beach life, the surfer girls, California girls, the cars.
One musician with an unusual path to the California sound is South African Blondie Chaplin. He joined the Beach Boys in the early 1970s, and after a stretch with the Rolling Stones, rejoined Brian Wilson's band 40 years later. A guitar virtuoso, Chaplin is known for singing lead on the hit Sail On Sailor. In 2021, Chaplin spoke with WAMC about his role in Wilson's large ensemble.
It still comes down to the song. You know, you relate to the song. It doesn't matter how many people are playing the song. And it still has to feel, the feel has to be right. And that's what's the ultimate thing that pulls you in. If it feels good, and even with a bunch of people, sometimes it could be a calamity. But Brian's had his band for a long time. And he has intricate parts of his music over the years that has to be done for people to get the full effect of what it is. So all these people, these 13 or 12 pieces, are very necessary for this music. If it was like a rock and roll band, it'd be like a five-piece or something like that. But for Brian music, this is what's necessary. And I feel comfortable in it. It just feels like it's well-oiled, and these guys have been with him for a long time. So it feels pretty good.
Chaplin said Wilson's late brothers still cast a long shadow on the group years after their deaths.
Knowing Brian, and how I met him again was they were doing peer pressure album. And he hadn't heard me sing for a while, and he wanted to hear how I sounded, and that's how I got to sing with him again and play with him again. And then from then, he wanted me to come on the road, sing Wild Honey and stuff like that, and it started to be, now it's been a few years. So that's how it is, and it's fun. It's fun, man. It's fun, and I've known him for a long time, okay? And or L, for that matter. So that part is good because we understand one another and know one another for a long time. But he's a good guy, Brian. You know, it's well documented, his stuff that he's been through. But it's always a pleasure to see him because whenever I see him, I see his two brothers, you know, which I liked very much. And it's hard not to see them around him when I'm talking to him. Because that's been my first slam of introduction years and years ago.
Love agreed, recalling in a 2017 WAMC interview, including the band's lost members during live performances, a practice that was well received during the 2012 50th anniversary reunion tour.
God Only Knows, a beautiful song that Cousin Carl Wilson sang on the Pet Sounds album. But we lost him in 1988 in February when he passed away from lung cancer. But we have the video of Carl singing, and we back him up. And so, and we also have a video of Dennis Wilson, his brother, who passed away in 1983, of Do You Want to Dance, which is a great old rock and roll song that we re-recorded, we covered. And so those guys are represented in our show. And so we make it as comprehensive as we possibly can and inclusive.
Despite their many public battles, Love says it all goes back to the group's family roots.
You know, I'm first cousins with Brian, Dennis, and Carl Wilson. And we grew up together, singing together at family gatherings. And so it was very natural for us to gravitate towards music. And nobody had ever done a song about surfing. You know, there were bands they called surf bands that were instrumental primarily, but we were the first to do a song that became a hit on the radio. Our first song being Surfin', that was our first recording, and that became a hit. And then Surfin' Safari came out, you know, maybe 6 months after that on Capitol Records, and that began a run at Capitol Records, which resulted in a lot of success, a lot of single records that were noteworthy and to this day are appreciated. So it was just a natural occurrence of a family hobby that became a profession, and a pretty long-lasting one at that.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.